I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I had a conversation with a dear friend this past week, and that conversation, I believe, was the way, the means in which the Lord drew my heart to this message. And I want to read in Acts 16, I want to read verses 25 down to somewhere around 34, 35. And then after we ask our Lord's blessing, I want to deal with a subject that I think is the subject of all subjects. Question of all questions. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and every man's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Let's pray together. Our Father, have mercy. I ask you, would you bless your word this morning and help us, for Christ's sake. Amen. What a question. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Now this statement, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved," I believe is one of the most misunderstood, abused truths that this world has ever seen. I know that it does not mean to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ exists. Somebody say, "Well, I believe that there's a Lord Jesus Christ." The demons believe that. It doesn't mean that your belief or your faith was the source of your salvation. Somebody says, "I believe I'm saved because I exercised my faith." You exercised faith because belief was already there. You did not become regenerate because you exercise faith. You believed because God gave you life first. You cannot do, when you hear this statement, what must I do to be saved? Let me tell you what that statement is saying. It means that you of yourself cannot do anything to be saved. You must believe. There's no doubt about that. But you remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, John 15:5, "For without me, you can do nothing." Now you think about this paradox. You have no ability in yourself to believe, and you must to be saved. You must. What must I do to be saved? I can tell you this concerning believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's from above. All men, the Scripture says, has not faith. All men have not faith. Philippians 1:29, "For unto you it's given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." Let me tell you what the already made alive, what the regenerated sinner, what the one that is born from above believes. He believes, first of all, that he can do nothing to save himself, and that he is saved totally by the grace and power and will and purpose of Almighty God. He believes that. A believer in the Lord Jesus Christ never trusts in his faith. He never trusts his faith. As I said before, faith did not die for you. But you must have faith. Jonah 2:9 says this, "Salvation is of the Lord." And when you look at the title, the name, Lord, it's capital L-O-R-D, all caps, meaning the eternal, self-existent One. Salvation is of the triune God. In its eternal conception, eternally conceived, to its eternal accomplishment, man has no part in it except that he is the recipient of it. Man's will, man's works, man's efforts adds nothing to salvation. He is the object of God's mercy and salvation. Romans 9:23 says that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of honor which He had afore prepared unto glory. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but obtained salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him." A sinner must believe. He must believe. But he believes that he was converted, that he was born again, not of blood, not because his mom and daddy was a believer, nor the will of the flesh, not because mom and daddy wanted him to be saved, not of the will of man, not because he had a free will, but of God. He was born of God. Salvation is not an uncertainty. salvation actually had no beginning. No beginning. Now, I do understand that there is a manifestation of salvation in time. That is true. That's true. Salvation. The salvation of God's elect was eternally settled in that everlasting counsel of God's will and purpose. God purposed that mankind would not perish. That's what John 3:16. God so loved the order of man, the world, the arrangement. God purposed that mankind, because of his rebellion against God, would not perish. And you just stop right now and just think. Had God not purposed, had God not elected, had God not chosen to justly satisfy his broken law and establish a righteousness that would actually be imputed to a people that he purposed would not fail, be lost, if God had not purposed to do that. When man failed in the garden, when Adam fell, everybody fell. And leave them alone. And they're dead. They're dead. People talk of election as if it's some kind of an evil thing. Election. Oh, the blessed mercy of Almighty God that would elect, that would choose to show mercy. God Almighty sent forth Jeremiah 31, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, have I called you. Chose to show mercy to you. He chose according to His Word. We've read Ephesians 1:4 so many times. God hath from the beginning chosen in Christ. We should be holy and without blame before Him in love. But God, the Scripture says, out of every kindred, tongue, people, blood, every family that this world has ever known, you're going to find somebody in that ancestry, somebody that Almighty God, there may be, as far as in particularly in your family, there may be one. You may be it, as far as you know. But I can tell you that Almighty God chose to show mercy to every representative, every family, every nation, every kindred. God elected, selected, chose, gave them to the Son for safekeeping. And He is their surety. He is their life. He is their salvation. And Almighty God, in electing grace, choosing them in Christ to be holy and without blame before Him in love, saved them eternally. He saved them first. First. He saw their substitute slain from before the foundation of the world, and there was eternally. Now, here is where salvation was found eternally. In God's will, God's purpose, God's choice, there was no moving or procuring or assisting help from the objects of God's mercy. They weren't even there physically. And man now thinks that man is the contributor. No, sir. You listen to this scripture, 1 Timothy 1:9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, who saved us in Christ, given us before this world ever had any physical foundation. Oh, the blessing of the security of God's salvation. He shall not fail. Isaiah 42. Let me read this for you. Isaiah 42. Verses 1 to 4. The scripture says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth." He's talking about Christ. "I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break. Smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." You know what that means? He's going to do God's will. He's going to save God's people. He's going to redeem and bring unto the Father all that the Father chose in him. John 17:2 says, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." He didn't come into this world to make salvation possible. No, sir. No, sir. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. They were saved in him from before the foundation of the world. And you know what's going to happen? Almighty God is going to, therefore, call them with a holy calling, a heavenly calling, an effectual calling. He lived obediently for them, died for them, being made sin, bore their guilt in his own body. He is their righteousness, their obedience before God, God Almighty, who looked and considered them in Christ before the foundation of the world. He is their obedience. And He is their payment for that which they, in Adam and in themselves, disobeyed. Those that the Father eternally knew. Those that the Father gave Him. Christ came to get them. They're His. And they're going to be with Him. All that the Father has given me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know that God's going to save them? How do you know? Because Almighty God said He would. That ends it. That's the end of it. Isaiah 46 verses 9 to 11. Says this, "Remember the former things of old, for I'm God. There's none else. I'm God, there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning." What did he say? He said, "I've saved them." And that salvation was given them in Christ. From before the foundation of the world. I am declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Saying, "My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executed my counsel from a far country. Yea, I've spoken it. And I will bring it to pass. I purposed it, and I will also do it. I will do it. I will. A believer believes that man is totally depraved. That means no part of his being pleases God, not in himself. A believer believes that God does have a people, an elect people. A believer believes that Christ died in particular for those people. A believer believes that God's sheep, those that God's chosen to show mercy to, are going to be converted. They shall be called out of darkness. And a believer believes that God's going to keep them. They know this. Almighty God must have mercy on me. And let me ask you this. Who shall be saved? Acts 13:48 says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now I've got a question for you. And in this question, I've got three things that I'm going to close with concerning believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's my question. Do you believe on the Son of God? Do you believe on the Son of God? Now, here's the statement. A Philippian jailer asked Apostle Paul and Silas, what must I do? And he wasn't asking, what do I need to do from myself in order that God would save me? Because if he had asked that question, Paul would have never given the answer he did. Paul the Apostle, who was blessed by the Spirit of God to set forth God's sovereignty, God's electing, particular, redeeming grace. If Paul the Apostle thought that he was asking, what can I do of myself, from myself, in order to merit salvation? What can I do? He'd have never said this. His question was this. What's the evidence? What's the evidence of salvation? What is the evidence of salvation? And Paul gave this answer. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is the evidence of it. Now I've got three questions now. In answer to the question that I just asked, do I believe scripturally on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I believe? Here's my first question. Are you concerned about believing Him? Are you concerned about it? Do I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen to me. It is not true that believing on Christ has no apprehensions with it. It's not true. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ in myself, there's some struggles that goes on. Paul said in Philippians 3:10 that I may know Him. Do you ask that question? Oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings. Let me ask you this. Can you ask this question? Can you make this statement out of Mark 9:21? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Does it bother you? Do you struggle with believing? In proportion as we love and value something, the more apprehension we have of its assurance and its safety. God's people strive to enter in. They strive in. They struggle. The striving of sin that dwells within my flesh causes me to say, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. I'm going to perish. Does it ever bother you when you see the workings of sin that's still present in your flesh? Does that ever bother you? Does it bother you that you try to pray and you find yourself, as we've talked about before, wandering My mind, where have I been? What am I doing? I'm supposed to be talking to the Lord of glory. Why am I thinking that? Does it bother you? Are you concerned about believing Him? These fears, let me give you some comfort on this. These fears are a token for good. Those struggles, they are a token for good. They're like smoke. You know, smoke is not fire. But I'll tell you one thing. It proves the existence of it. That smoke that comes up, you know what I can say? There's fire down there. That fire hadn't gone out. Strugglings and strivings and warrings within, they're not salvation. Those struggles are not salvation, but they indicate there's a concern for Him. Lord, that I might know You. Here's my second question. What is my estimation of Christ? 1 Peter 2:7 says this, "Unto you therefore that believe, He is precious." Now let me tell you what that means. Let me bring it down to where we can understand it. Is He all you got? Is He all you got? Is He all you have for life? Whatever you trust in, whatever you believe, whatever you're resting in, whatever it is, it better stand before God Almighty on its own merit. It better be perfect. If you're trusting in your decision, you better believe this. It better be a perfect decision. If you're trusting in your church membership, if you're trusting in your baptism, if you're trusting in speaking in tongues, whatever you're trusting in, it better be perfect. There better not be one deviation in it. Not one discrepancy. He's all I got. He's all I got. Consider Him who was rich, but for our sakes became poor. And Lord, I know that's true. I know that's true. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me. For I struggle with believing that as I ought. I know that He died. The Scripture says He died under the judgment of Almighty God, under God's wrath for His people. I know that. He said that. He said, John 10:15, "I lay down my life for the sheep." And He turned to some Pharisees and He said, "You're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You're not my sheep. My sheep hear me. They rest in me. They trust me." Here's the thing. I know He's precious. I know that He's the only hope that a sinner has. And Lord, in knowing that, I go back to point one. Lord, I struggle with belief. And I know all the while, Lord, I don't have any confidence in my flesh. I know that. I walked down an aisle three or four times. I've been in the water. I've been in the water, I know, at least three times. Thinking back, well, maybe it didn't take. I'm going to have to make you sanctuary. Maybe I wasn't assured. Maybe I didn't feel like I should have. Maybe I had a bad day that day. I know this. He's the only hope that I've got. Brother Scott, just say, if He's all you got, that's all you need. And then thirdly and lastly, do you truly want to follow after Him? Do you want to? Now, I know the struggles. I've already talked about that. I know the struggles. I know the strivings. I know that which goes on. I know something about the warring within. But has He given you a heart to long after Him? Is obedience to Him your heart, your desire? Lord, I want to. I want to. I want to know You. Lord, I want to see You in these Scriptures. Lord, I want to hear Your voice. You said Your sheep hear Your voice. Lord, speak to me. Lord, help me. We've been going through Hebrews 11. These evidences of faith. Scripture says Abraham believed. Abraham obeyed. Noah moved with fear. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Don't you know that those men and those women that were spoken of in Hebrews 11, they struggled just like we do. There was a heart that God had put within. And they knew, He's my only hope. I struggle. He's all I got. He's precious. He's precious. And I want to follow after Him. A believer, though he knows that the struggles are there, he seeks His honor. He wants to hear His word. He longs to follow Him in obedience. And all the while he knows this: Lord, unless You save me, I have no hope. Now let me ask you this. Knowing something about the struggles that you have. Knowing something. Struggling, striving after. To be found in Him as your only hope. He's precious to you. He's all you got. Not your free will. Not your baptism. Not your church membership. Not your decision. I'm talking about is salvation all of grace. Given to you, according to the Scriptures, in Christ Jesus before the world began, and then having saved you eternally, called you with a holy calling, awakened you to your condition and need of Him. And you found those warrings and strivings, and you knew by faith, He's all I got. He's all I got. I have nothing else. I don't have anything else. And I want to follow after Him. You believe that? Then God's done something for you. May the Lord bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen.